Welcome to Tardi Melcha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Ilana Flamenhoft, and today we will be studying Sefer Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perek Chaf Bet. There are only 12 verses in chapter 22, and only 9 of them are about the reign of the youngest son of Yehoram. In chapter 21, we learned that all of Yehoram's wives and sons were killed, except for his youngest son, Yehoahaz. This was Mida Keneged Mida, measure for measure. Yehoram killed all of his brothers until only he was left. And then all of his children were killed until he only had one son left. In our chapter, the youngest son is called Ahaziahu instead of Yehoahaz, a name consisting of the same Hebrew letters, only in a different order. I could not find an explanation for the change in the name. In the parallel account in Melachim Bet, 2 Kings, he is only known as Ahaziahu. The chapter begins. Vayamlichu Yoshua Yerushalayim et Ahaziahu b'no Katon tachtav, ki cholo rishonim harag hagdud haba baravim lamachaneh, vayimloch Ahaziahu ben Yehoram melch Yehuda. The inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziahu, his youngest son, king in his stead, because all the older ones had been killed by the troops that penetrated the camp with the Arabs. Ahaziahu, son of Yehoram, reigned as king of Yehuda. At no other coronation in Tanakh are the inhabitants of Jerusalem mentioned as a separate group. Usually the verse would say all of Israel, or the people of the land. Why would only the people of Jerusalem be involved? We can find an answer by resolving a contradiction in verse 2. Ben arba'im ushtaim shana Ahaziahu b'malcho, v'shana achat malach b'yushalayim, v'shem imo Ataliahu bat Omri. Ahaziahu was 42 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 1 year. His mother's name was Ataliahu, the daughter of Omri. It is difficult to understand that Ahaziah was literally 42 years old, as according to what we learned in chapter 1, his father, Yehoram, was 40 when he died. How is this possible? Seder Olam Rabba explains, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Echi efshar leben, shiye gadol me'aviv kishtei shanim? Ela, kevan shehesi asa epeno lebito shal omri, nigzera gzera amachu beit David, shetechale im beit achav. Rabbi Yossi said, is it possible for a son to be 2 years older than his father? Once Asa married off his son to the daughter of Omri, a decree was issued against the kingdom of the house of David, that it would come to an end together with the house of Ahab. We have learned previously that Asa, king of Yehuda, had taken Omri, king of Israel's daughter, as a wife for his son Yehoshaphat. And Yehoshaphat, king of Yehuda, took Ahab, king of Israel's daughter, as a wife for his son Yehoram. We surmised that the reason why these pious kings enter marriage with the evil northern kingdom was because they knew that Hashem had wanted to reunite the two kingdoms, and they thought they were facilitating this with these marriages. We learned that the decree for the kingdom to be split was only to be for 36 years, the length of Shlomo's marriage to Bat Paro. We learned how these marriages were a disaster for Malchut Yehuda, and Yehoram walked in the ways of his wife's family and was evil. We've discussed Ahav and how evil he was. As a result of his sins, Eliyahu HaNavi told him that his entire royal house would be wiped out, and Seder Olam Rabba is telling us that the same fate awaits the house of David as a result of Asa marrying into Ahav's family, which took place 42 years before Ahaziahu became king. So the Radak explains that Yehoram actually lived more than 40 years. But the years of his reign that were counted were only the 8 years during which he had ruled with full authority. From the time he fell into the hands of the Arabs and was struck by illness, his reign was no longer counted. So the people crowned Ahaziahu during his lifetime, which from the time his father fell and he ruled without full authority was 20 years. Thus, when Ahaziahu was crowned during his father's lifetime, he was 22 years old, as stated in Melachim Bet. And when it says in Divrei Hayamim, he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem, that refers to the period after his father's death. During his lifetime, he ruled for 20 years. And when his father died, he was 42 years old. They then crowned him a second time, but after his father's death, he reigned only 1 year. We have learned about this form of co-regency accounting before in chapter 16. It solves our issue of why only the inhabitants of Jerusalem crowned Ahaziahu. They were the only people who would have been sufficiently cognizant of the circumstances to be in a position to take action. In verses 3 to 4, we read, Gam hu halach b'darchei beit Achav, ki imo haita yo'atzto laharshia. He too followed the practices of the house of Achav, for his mother counseled him to do evil. Vayasara be'enei Hashem kiveitz Achav, ki heim hayulo yo'atzim, achrei mot aviv lemashchit lo. He did what was displeasing to God, like the house of Achav, for they became his counselors after his father's death, to his ruination. While these psukim seem to be saying the same thing, the difference is that verse 3 blames Ataliyahu, his mother, and verse 4 blames his counselors because of their association with the evil Ahav's dynasty. Malbim thinks that the subject of verse 3 is Ahaziahu's private life. As a youngster, he grew up in the evil ways of the house of Ahav under the toxic influence of his mother. But after his father's death, he was similarly misled by his advisors. We see how much Divrei HaYamim is emphasizing that the joining in marriage of the two royal lines has tragic consequences. Ahaziahu also followed the advisor's counsels and went with Jehoram, son of Ahab, king of Israel, to war against Hazael, king of Aram, Eramot Gilad. Jehoram was continuing his father's incessant wars against Aram, and the Arameans smote Jehoram, king of Israel. They didn't kill him, but he was wounded in battle. Divrei HaYamim makes the point that Ahaziahu went with Jehoram because he was goaded into this doomed alliance by the northern kingdom and counselors. We are told in verse 6 that Jehoram returned to convalesce in Yisrael because of the wounds that were struck against him at Ramah when he fought against Hazael, king of Aram. Then we are told that Azariahu, son of Jehoram, king of Yehuda, went down to see Jehoram, son of Ahab, his wounded uncle, in Yisrael because he was ill. Now we learn of a third name for this king. Rabbi Moshe Eisenman hypothesizes that Azariahu was how he was known in his private life. The impulse to visit a sick ally and relative was a personal one. It wasn't a royal duty, but done out of friendly concern. Verse 7 states, Umeelokim haita tfusat Ahaziahu lavo el Yoram, ubuvo'o yatsa im Yehoram el Yehu ben Nimshi, asher meshacho Hashem lahachrit et beit Ahav. Now Ahaziahu's debacle, that he came to Yehoram, was brought about by God. Having come, he went out with Yehoram against Yehu ben Nimshi, whom Hashem had anointed to cut off the house of Ahav. We know from Sefer Melachim that Yehu, one of Ahav's officers, was anointed king over Israel by an anonymous prophet sent by Elisha, in accordance with the command which Hashem gave Eliyahu. Yehu was supposed to kill out the entire family of Ahav as a punishment for all of their wickedness. Once again, the Navi is teaching us about Sibatiyut Kfula, dual causality, where biblical narratives indicate that events can be understood through both divine and human perspectives. The advice that the northern counselors gave Ahaziahu to align with Jehoram, king of Israel, was really the fulfillment of Hashem's decree that the alliance with the northern kingdom would mean the destruction of the Davidic line. Verses 8 to 9 inform us, Vayihi kihi shafet Yehu im beit Achav, vayimtza et sarei Yehuda, uvnei achei Ahaziahu mishartim la'Ahaziahu vayehargeim. In the course of bringing the house of Ahav to judgment, Yehu came upon the officers of Yehuda and the nephews of Ahaziahu ministering to Ahaziahu and killed them. Vayivakesh et Ahaziahu, vayilkeduhu v'hu mitzchabe b'shomron, v'yivu'uhu el Yehu, v'yimituhu v'yikberu ki amru ben Yehoshaphat, hu asher darash et Hashem b'chol avavo, v'ein levet Ahaziahu la'atzor koach l'mamlecha. Yehu hunted Ahaziahu, and they ferreted him out while he was hiding in Samaria. They brought him to Yehu, slew him, and buried him. For they said, he is the son of Yehoshaphat, who worshipped God wholeheartedly. There was no one in Ahaziah's family able to maintain the power to rule. The Davidic line had become a part of Ahaz's family, and by divine decree, it was Yehu's mandate to wipe them out together with Ahaz's line. Even if Ahaziah no longer deserved the honor due a king, he deserved some respect, as he was the grandson of the righteous King Jehoshaphat. So although they did not spare his life, they showed him this honor by burying him, rather than tossing his body in the open field as they had done to Jehoram, son of Ahab. There was no one from the house of Ahaziah with the capacity to reign. Yehu had evidently killed all the men of power and status in the kingdom of Yehuda. You might remember what happens next from when you learned Melachim Bet, 2 Kings, chapter 11. Va'ataliyahu eim Ahaziah ra'ata kimet bina v'atakam v'tidaber et kol zera hamamlacha lebeit Yehuda. When Ataliyahu, Ahaziah's mother, learned that her son was dead, she promptly did away with all who were of royal stock of the house of Yehuda. The use of the word tidaber, v'tidaber, is unusual. Most of the Farshim commentators explain that it is a verb formed from the word dever, plague. That is, that she killed the children by poison, so that they died a slow and painful death as one who dies by the plague. But Jehoshaphat, daughter of Jehoram the king, though presumably from another woman, not Ataliyahu, took Yoash, Ahaziah's son, and spirited him from among the king's sons who were put to death. He must have remained unnoticed among the corpses, and Jehoshaphat put him and his nurse in the bedroom. The child was so small that he still required a nurse, and his aunt, Jehoshaphat, managed to hide them both away. We are then told that Jehoshaphat, the daughter of King Jehoram, was the wife of Jehoiada the high priest, and because she concealed Yoash from Ataliyahu, he was not put to death. What bedroom did she think was such a good hiding place? Rashi brings the tradition of Chazal, the sages, that the bedroom refers to the Holy of Holies in the Beit HaMikdash. This most concealed place in the temple was the only spot where they could be sure that the child would remain untouched. The fact that Jehoiada, the high priest, was her husband accounts for their choice of a hiding place. He had access to the most sacred of places and concealed the young king either in the cells surrounding the Kodesh HaKadoshim or in the attic rooms above it. Together, Jehoshaphat and Jehoiada sought to preserve a remnant of the house of David from the murderous intentions of Ataliyahu. The chapter ends by telling us that Yoash was hidden with Jehoshaphat and Jehoiada in the Beit HaMikdash for 6 years without anyone knowing about his existence, as he was under the tutelage and protection of the high priest, who was in charge of the temple. And throughout these years, Ataliyahu was ruling over the land. She had her ministers and advisors, and she proved to be a strong queen who ruled over the land in her own way. Can you imagine what it must have been like to grow up and spend 6 years in the Holy of Holies in the Beit HaMikdash? Even the Kohen Gadol can only enter the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur. We will learn more about the child who grew up in this environment in the coming chapters. Maybe things will turn around for the house of David. But first, we have to deal with Ataliyahu. This shir is dedicated to Zecher Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudi Bakedaliyahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Neviim and Shivat Zion left an indelible mark on her many students.